there's a finite number of problems every basketball player faces, and I would like to be able to help as many of them overcome those problems as possible. So me lacking knowledge is me lacking the ability to help more people. I don't expect results from anything. I expect literally nothing out of every endeavor I do, and I just put in an unreasonable amount of work compared to the average person, and that's why I think I win. So I understand that the only gap between me and where I want to be is just thousands of hours of doing the boring thing.
What's up, y'all? Welcome back to Ships Across the Border. My name is Max. I'm here with Chris. And today we have on CAB, Christopher Alfred Beeman.
Don't turn down any opportunity, whether it's a camp, a clinic, because you never know literally who's watching.
Make your own decision and stick with them and know they're the right decisions, right? And even if they aren't right, don't regret them.
He didn't know creatine existed.
So he got him some creatine, he's like, oh, yeah, lift heavyweight.
Ship across the border.
Ship across the border.
Ship across the border, man.
Welcome back to Ship Across the Border.
That baffles me that you remember my middle name, actually.
I call you CAB.
You call me CB on a regular
basis. What's going on? First episode back, 2024.
I look like a fucking
Chris.
Straight off of Ice Road Truckers.
Chris was fortunate enough to have a 6-week winter break.
It was four. It was exactly four. I booked my flights. It was 16th to 16th. It was 4 weeks.
Sorry.
I just wanted to let you
know. You also went like a week late. You went like a week after I did.
When did you leave?
And you came back a day early.
Huh?
We had off from like the 12th to the 17th.
You had more than a month.
Yeah. That's why I said like 5 weeks. Yeah,
your vibes. Your vibes.
No, I didn't. You did. Oh. I had.
No, but I left the 16th.
Irrelevant.
Anyways.
So how did you spend that time? At home, back in Hanover, Ontario.
I spent it in Ayton, Ontario, actually. But,
same thing.
what did I do during my break? I'm not going to lie to you. I literally just lifted fucking heavy circles, played a bit of basketball, roasted a kid that's half my age. Probably not actually half my age, but roasted a kid, watched a really good basketball game.
This is a bully.
On the low, like super low, but... and got a wireless charger. Like that's all I did, bro.
Spent 4 weeks...
Lifting.
And you came to Toronto a little bit, hung out with Brad. Shout out, Brad.
Yeah, I hung out with Brad a little bit, and we had some dinner. He paid for a fucking steak, which I didn't ask him to do, but he did out of the kindness of his heart, I guess. And yeah, that was fun.
So now you're back here.
Yeah.
Do you have any 2024 goals personally in the weight room, in the podcast, on the court? Maybe come back. Maybe we don't know what's gonna happen. What's gonna happen.
My number one goal of 2024. I'm gonna cut that. I'm gonna cut that. I'm going to cut that, but my actual 2024 goals, these are not like 2024 goals, but I have a set of long-term goals and short-term goals that I'm currently aspiring towards, if you want to hear those.
I do want to hear those.
Okay, so in terms of the podcast, I want to get to 10,000 subscribers. No, I want to get 10,000 followers. I want to get 1,000 subscribers, and I want to get 1,000 followers on Instagram. I want to have a video break 1,000 views because I went home and on Sam's YouTube channel, shout out Sam Scott, 1421. We made a video of us in the gym and it broke 1,000 views, which was fucking insane.
We're sending you an invoice for that free promo, Sam.
And so yeah, I want to have a video break 1,000 views, and then like long term down the fucking road, because Brad made me like develop a list of...
Who's Brad for the...
Everyone knows who... Nah, actually probably don't know who Brad is. Brad was one of my old coaches from my AAU days, roughly 2 years ago. My 1 year career of Scarborough prep basketball. You know what's actually crazy? I'm going to tell you this story. So I went and tried out for Northern Kings, played like dog shit, didn't get picked to even come back for the second tryout. And then there was one more tryout that I was going to. I literally just signed up for 2 tryouts and I was like, well, if this doesn't work out, then I'm going to go fucking play. I'm going to go get a engineering degree from Humber College or some stupid shit. I don't even know. But yeah, so basically I went to the Northern Kings one. And then the next week I went to the Scarborough one. The comp was like way worse and I played way better. And then the next... try it was like the final trial because I missed the first one, And I thought I fried. Like, I was under the impression the entire time that I was killing everybody. And then I got picked to go be on the actual team, whatever. And I sat down with Brad and had dinner with Adam, the coach that was...
After you made the team?
This is like this, like when Adam was there and Brad was there. And Adam was the actual coach that I had. And Brad was more like a trainer and other coach and shit. But Adam, the actual guy who like picked me to be on the team, they were telling me this story about how apparently I didn't play that well. And the only reason I made the team was because Brad came over and said, yeah, I think he's more fundamentally sound. And because Adam was going to pick this super chunky Indian dude who, by the way, was hot garbage. Yeah, but hot garbage, bro. He didn't do anything all the tryout. I don't know. I'm going to have to text Jacob Roden because I said he was at that tryout, but apparently he wasn't. And there's no way my memory is that fucked up. But yeah, basically, apparently I didn't play that well. So my perception is fucked. And I only made it because Brad decided to shove his hand of God into this scenario, and that's probably the only reason I actually made college basketball. I'm not gonna lie. What were we talking about?
I asked you what you did.
And my goals, my goals, my goals.
And then you said goals.
Yeah. Loopbacks, yeah. Basically, Brad's my AAU coach, and he made me sit down and develop a list of things that I want to do.
He's more of like a life coach now that you don't play basketball anymore,
to be honest. But yeah, he basically made me write down like long-term goals for the podcast. So the long-term podcast, the directional goal is I want to get to be a top 500 podcast in all of Canada.
So like and subscribe and help us reach Chris's goal.
Top 500 podcast all of Canada. And the day I see that is probably the day that I fucking, I don't even know, break down and cry. Yeah. Anyways.
Well, so what are the kind of more shorter term goals? Or should you said that with the, what are like the day-to-day goals and how are you going to get to that?
Post 3 times a day. That's ideally on everything. I'm going to post 3 times a day on Instagram. I'm going to post 3 times a day on TikTok. I'm going to post 3 times a day on YouTube Shorts. I want to pump out more short-term. I want to pump out more short-term content, but this dude's like mad busy, but like not really, but like mad busy trying to be a pro 2K player. So, I mean, we'll see how that goes. But
I am in a full course load and also play college basketball at the same time trying to maintain some sort of level of happiness.
You're raping everybody. I'm going to have to fix that. But like, if we're being brutally honest, if we were to like chunk in time, you might spend more time on 2K than you do doing homework.
Oh, homework? I thought you were going to say real basketball.
No.
Homework? For sure.
Well, like fucking
But I'm in class for 3 to 4 hours a day. That's time consuming. Yeah, like, no, I didn't say homework. I said I'm a student.
Oh. Okay, so now to the stuff that the people really, really want to hear about.
What's that?
The story of Chris.
Oh.
And how you ended here. I think that God put Chris at Madai. Like, his God's will.
I guess it's really shitty that I don't believe in him then if he did that. It's
kind of fucked up. But before we talk about how you, and also on Sam's podcast, you didn't really go into depth on like your connection. Because like Sam's from the same place that you're from. And you guys shared a lot of basketball, I guess, I want to say memories because you don't play basketball anymore. But a lot of like core basketball and like growing up together and a lot of the same experiences.
Cheers.
What?
Yes. Oh. In Mexican. Yes.
That's racist. So yes. How did you start hooping?
How did I start hooping? Okay, let's go back. So basically, where I'm from in this tiny ass town of fucking Ontario, Canada, basketball is not a thing. There's no, growing up, basketball wasn't even an option really to play where I was from. Hockey is the only thing that anybody gives a shit about, and maybe soccer, but mostly hockey. Like, the way that Americans feel about basketball in these little tiny towns and shit, and how serious they are. That is what the equivalent of hockey in where I'm from. Like, dude, I know guys who played in the NHL. I know guys who played in the OHL. I know guys who fucking.
Who you know who played in the NHL?
I know guys, it's more of like a person to person thing, but like, you know who Shane Wright is?
Yeah.
Like, I know somebody who played him. I know somebody who's played with. Like, I just hear the names and shit. And like,
I know somebody that played with him too, actually. One of my boys.
Exactly. It's just, it's super common to have guys go very, very high level. And actually, one of the guys that I know from high school, his dad played in the NHL, but then he got involved with drugs and girls, and that shit went down. But so for the first 13 years of my life, I didn't really touch a basketball at all. Like, I played hockey, I played soccer, and that was about
it. Farm pigs.
Basically, I played those two sports for the first 13 years of my life. And then I had sort of like an epiphany moment where I realized that I don't even really know how I had this moment. I was at, for anyone who doesn't know, Silver Stick. I was at a Silver Stick International tournament. Do you know what that is?
No. And I don't think anybody does either.
So how do I explain Silver Stick International? It's kind of like,
oh, it's hockey.
It's hockey, but like, I don't know how to put it into basketball terms. It's a really, really, really high level hockey tournament that goes on for all the teams in Ontario. And if you win it, you get to go play it's somewhere in Canada, but yeah, basically it's a really, really high level tournament. And my team had made it there, my rep team. And we actually ended up winning Silver Stick when I was like 12 years old, but I was sitting on the bench and I was watching all these guys like kill. And I was just like watching them go up and down. I was like, man, I kind of fucking hate this. Like, I don't really like the sport at this point. Cause I wasn't very good and I wasn't naturally gifted at all. I was bigger, but like, I played left defense and I just wasn't very good at it. So I had like sort of an epiphany moment. I just decided to drop hockey and I had to like talk to my dad wanted me to keep doing it, I'm pretty sure. But I was in the
Did your siblings play sports?
Daniel and Malcolm both played soccer and my brother's a fighter, but they weren't really into
sports.
You
said Malcolm?
Yeah, my younger brother. It's a cool name. I have youngest brother is Malcolm.
I didn't know that was his name. That's a cool name.
Second oldest is Daniel. I'm the oldest in like our household, but then I have a half brother that he's off in Toronto doing his thing. But yeah, basically I didn't play basketball until I was 13 and I realized I hated fucking hockey. So then I was in the tractor with my dad and I was talking, I was like, man, I kind of want to quit hockey. Like, I don't really want to do this. And at that point, like, if anyone knows me, I'm not a confrontational person. So what drove me to really have that conversation has to be the hand of God or something, because I would never have done that if I didn't feel so insanely strongly about that decision. So I quit it. I dropped it going into grade 8 and then it just fucking spiraled, man. Like, I just started training 3-4 times a day and it wasn't even out of like,
but what converted you? Like, you already were you already interested in basketball while you were playing hockey, well, or you played pickup at a park? And
well, I watched a Kyrie Irving mixtape and I was like, just this, the way this dude is moving and the things that he's doing, this just looks insane. And I feel like I can do that.
This was after, or
this is in the process of like, I'm playing hockey and I'm like, this just looks way cooler. And I kind of knew people who had done it. Like, I knew Carter growing up, which is Sam's older brother, and they were all in basketball, but I never really talked to that crowd. I was always on the hockey side, but then, yeah. So it was just, that's what happened. And I basically just started going ballistic, dude. Going into grade 8, it was like, I had no idea what I was doing, and I was playing on like 9.5-foot rims, but I would just run full speed at the net and try and do a move, and then just, if I missed, I would change, and just, dude, I was not very good. I'm not even gonna lie. I wasn't very good when I started, but just endless hours, I guess, changed that.
And then what was like the first basketball team you played on? Was it rep or was it?
No.
JDSS?
No, I played, so basically there's a league near me, and it's called Friday Night Basketball.
So what you talked about with this on the Sam podcast? Okay.
It's, dude,
familiar.
It's shambles basketball. Like, a lot of the people there don't even really play. Like, me coming in as like someone who never played basketball before, that's what it is. It's not structured. It's reffed, but like, I know the ref.
It's a men's league.
I basically started playing in a men's league for 12-year-old kids, and it's just not structured at all, and it wasn't good basketball at all. And started that in grade 8. And also don't think I played very well in that going forward. Like, I don't remember playing very well for the first 3 years. And I remember, like, Carter and all of them were frying in it because it's dog-shit basketball. You really should. If you're going to go somewhere, I'm kind of baffled that I didn't play well in it. It was, like, no fucking defense. And, yeah, that was the first team I ever played on. And then
– did you guys practice or was it just games?
It was games, but I don't know, like, really how to explain
it. Did you have any practices?
No.
Okay.
You would just show up on Friday and hoop. You'd have a 30-minute debriefing, and then they just let you go. There was no plays.
There was coaches,
but yeah, there was no plays. There was nothing. That's like the beginning start of basketball for me.
Right.
And then going into grade 9, I had a fucking bleep this again moment, and I fucking decided to go to a school where I knew a singular person who is now a debatable alcoholic, because I had grown up with him, and he was like my best friend of 13 years. So I just decided to go to school with him and his older brother. And
this is Sacred Heart?
Sacred Heart in Walkerton, Ontario. And I just didn't, there was no why as to why I did that. It just kind of,
yeah, that's far from your house, no?
Somewhat. But yeah, basically I went to school there, and the basketball team there was significantly better than what I was accustomed to at Friday Night, but still not compared to like anywhere else great basketball by any means. So I started,
it was good though.
Somewhat. I tried out there, made it. And, my freshman year in high school, we played 12 games, I think maybe. And at this time, JDSS was running the league, dude, because they had like Carter, who's just a tank on wheels in grade 10. They had an actual coach who kind of knew basketball, and they had all these people. They were 7-0 when we went to play against them for the first time. And like, everyone on that team knew who I was because I grew up around there. So, like, they were expecting me
to play. Is it on junior or did you play on senior?
It's junior, freshman year.
So Carter's only a year older than you?
Yeah, and he's in grade 10. And they were killing it, bro. They're 7-0. They were blowing teams out. Okay. And we played against them. And I had 15 points or something. And they all, like, knew me as the kid who could dribble because that's all I cared about from the beginning of starting basketball. I just wanted to look like Kyrie Irving. So I was just spamming dribble moves. And I ended up with, like, 15 points. And we ended up beating them. And we were the only loss on their record all year that year. And we played them again later on that year. And I was getting full court press. And I came down. I got the ball over half. And we were up by, like, 5. And this kid, Dustin Van Dusen, who I'm now boys with, he was pressuring me. And then he was about to just foul me. And I went to go throw a pass to my teammate. And it just fucking sailed out of bounds. And we lost the game by, like, 2 points, I think. Because they came down, hit a 3. And someone got a rebound and put it back. It was just – that was a depressing moment. But after that season – I realized that Sacred Heart was just not a place that I wanted to be at. So I had to, like, again, walk to my parents and be like, yeah, I'm not gonna lie, I kind of want to go to JDSS with the boys. And at this time, I was also partying pretty heavily, won't lie. We were doing some crazy shit.
With your JDSS friends?
So I'm at JDSS, and, like, they would pick us up at lunch, and we would go drive around and do dumb shit and then come back and it's just
you're at Sacred Heart. Yeah. Your JSS friends would pick you up at lunch.
And we would just do dumb shit. Okay. It was like there was literally no reason as to why I went to Sacred Heart. So then I transferred back to JDSS. First day in that school, it was just 10 times fucking better, bro. Like, I knew nobody in Sacred Heart. And then walking in the JDS hallways, everyone was like, yo, what's good, Beeman? Like, just what's up? They called me Poss. Like, it's just it was just such a better environment. So I transferred back to JDSS and I was like, you know what? This is a start to, like, a new fucking beginning. Like, this is significantly better. And but I couldn't play basketball because if you transfer from school to school in – it might be all of Canada. Like, could you do that where you were from?
Yeah, in Ontario at least.
In Ontario. You can't transfer –
not always be in offset.
You can't transfer from school to school and play the same sport because they want to prevent, like, building super teams or some shit, which – I don't know, but yeah. So I had to take a year off of basketball because, like, I got to the school and because I played basketball at Sacred Heart, I couldn't play in JD, so I had to take a year off. We appealed to OFSA and all that shit, but it didn't matter because you have to either have, like, been bullied or some shit and have a reason to transfer.
You said you were bullied.
I did. I tried. Trust me. I tried. It didn't work. But so I took the grade 10 year off, and that was the year that Sam was frying. And, like, I'm not gonna lie to you, there was a minute where I was like, dude, this is kind of fucking ass because I was watching Sam cook and, like, everybody around where we were from was talking about how Sam's going to go play college basketball.
Like, it could have been you.
And I was sitting there watching him play and I was like, it just made me mad. And they also, dude, their team wasn't very good and I could have definitely helped them win more games. And that game where he's talking about where Braden came down and fucking threw the ball up over 4 people, I would have been the point guard in the situation. We would have went to Kwasa. It would have been great times. But yeah, grade 10 was fun, but I played basketball every single day and just grinded. But at that point,
you were still working out and stuff like that. And so did you practice with the team at all? Or
sometimes, yeah, I would. That's the year that I actually rapped in front of the entire school.
That came out of left field.
Yep. I'm just remembering what happened during that year. And, like, my basketball was limited to YMCA, Durham court runs, like, open runs type shit. But there was no structural basketball. And that definitely hurt me in the long run. Because when I came back in grade 11, I could tell that I was, like, missing a year of basketball. But, yeah, grade 10 was – it was a different year, for sure. That's kind of the year I think I decided I wanted to play college basketball because I have in my notes still to this day a list of goals that I had when I was grade 9 or 10, and it was like a path to playing college basketball. And, like, one of them was average 30 points per game in high school at some point, dunk a basketball. Never ended up doing that.
None of those happened.
Nope, none of those happened.
But you did play college basketball.
Kind of show the show, but play at Orangeville Prep.
That didn't happen.
Yep. But there's a few of them, and I'm not gonna lie, don't think I ended up crossing off any of those and still ended up playing college basketball. But at that point during that year, it was really a turning point of me deciding,
so that's how shit happens.
And then going into grade 11, what was my mindset going into grade 11? I'm trying to think because, like, going into grade 11, I knew I had to fry. Because at that point, I'd only had one other year of high school basketball, and it just wasn't enough for me to, like, justify how much work I'd been putting in. There wasn't enough evidence that I was actually good at basketball other than open runs, which nobody really gives a fuck about. So, like, at that entire grade 11 year, I was just trying to prove to myself that all this hard work is going towards something. And I can't remember how much I averaged. It was something like 16 points or 14 points. It wasn't insane by any means, but it was enough to keep me on the path. And we were playing guys like Ethan Cudney, who's now at Laurentian College, and we lost a two by them. It was also a kind of annoying year because I was playing with a bunch of people who thought they were really, really, really tough. And looking back, they really weren't. Then again, I probably wasn't either. But like, there wasn't a lot of conduciveness. And we had just moved up a year, and the coach there is Davis. I don't know, you probably heard Sam talk about that on the podcast too. How like, maybe, we had this coach who's a great guy, but he was a football coach trying to be a basketball coach. And our press break was like, you would have
you said that.
Four guys and one would just sprint. You just chuck the ball full court. That shit never worked, not once. So that those two things combined to make the year somewhat difficult in terms of getting better at basketball. Like,
and then senior year was COVID.
Senior year was COVID.
You came back grade 13 for four games.
Indeed. So,
how the fuck do you end up being a college basketball player?
Well, senior year is where that happened, I think, if I recall correctly, the timeline here. Senior year, everything shut down, and actually, was it grade 11? It had to be grade 11 because COVID, when everything shut down fully, this is like in between COVID where nothing's shut down yet, but people are wearing masks and all this stuff. Mm-hmm. And me and Brent Coolin, shout out, kid that currently is graduated from Fanshawe and played college basketball there for 1 year. Me and him were in some class, history class or something, and we were in the library and we were on these computers and we were just watching highlights of prep schools from Toronto. And me and him were looking at each other like, man, I'm not going to lie, these kids don't look like that crazy. Like, I bet you we could play out there. And he was like, what do you think we play out there? And we were just talking. And we went online and we found out that you can just go pay $25 and try out for one of these teams. So then I DM'd Roe Russell asking him to try out for his team. And he was like, yeah, pull up. So then Brent did the same thing and Sam did the same thing. So three of us just paid $25, ended up going to this grassroots tryout out in the middle of Toronto. I had never driven on the 401 at this point. I'd never driven on the highway. I'm driving in this beat up gold van with these two kids in the back freaking the fuck out. And we pull up to this high school, and we walk up, and there's like 6'5", 6'4", 6'7", just these big dudes standing on the side of the gym. And we are these tiny little white kids just standing there in the cold, and we look so out of place, dude. And we walk into the gym, and where Russell had this big-ass machine that he was using to like clean the balls, and he would like cover them with rubbing alcohol and like spin them, and he'd throw them back to you. So this is like in the midst of COVID, and we're at this tryout, and he's just, like, lining everybody up, doing these fucking drills. There's probably 40 kids there, dude. And everyone's screaming. Everything's intense. Everyone's going crazy. And I'm just trying to mimic the energy. So I'm screaming help on defense. I'm just clapping at guys in drills. People are diving on loose balls, everything. And then we started doing the scrimmage portion of the tryout where you have guys break up into groups of five, and then you just run fives. And if you scored, you got to stay on. Dude, my team got waxed. Like, I got on. Someone would blow by. Somebody get a layup. Like, tryouts are a weird environment, especially for someone like...
It was like 5-on-5 continuous?
Yeah. So like if you were on a shitty team and you clearly weren't 6'5 and dunking it, the odds of you staying on the court were pretty much zero. Because you had these teams... First of all, they told you could make your own team. So if you didn't know anybody there, you're just fucked. You're just fucked. So I watched Brent and Sam were on two other teams. Because the guy just grabbed them out of the drills and said, yo, you're on my team. So we're like, yo, fuck it. And then I somehow, by the grace of God, Russell took two of those groups of five, and he made two new groups of five out of the five loudest or most engaged people in like the entire tryout, and I was on one of those teams. So it was like me, this kid from Russia, some kid who's built straight up like Siakam. His entire game was built like Siakam. He even looked like Siakam, and he was dog
may
shit.
Have been Siakam.
He was dog shit. He was dog shit, dude. He was so ass. This kid with orange shoes who had the most broken jumper ever, but it went in enough, I guess. And then some other kid who was like fighting me for the point guard spot. And I got on the court and we got to play against the actual grassroots team. So it's like Elijah Fisher, just big dudes can shoot the ball. These kids who are going to go play Division I basketball.
Probably playing Division I basketball right now.
I almost guarantee all of them are. And he matched us up against them and we were just going to go to 11. And first play, they come down. Do like some weird ass play. Elijah Fisher gets a wide open three, splashes it. It drops to the hoop, and I'm just waiting there for the ball, and someone inbounds it to me. And there's this kid who was on the other team. It was the point guard for their team. His entire role, and Rur also made this completely obvious to everyone in the gym, that this guy's role is to play fucking defense. Like the entire time he was pressing everybody during the scrimmages and shit. Like his entire job for that team was to play fucking defense. He's picking me up 94 feet. I don't know how this happened. I don't know where this shit came. I pulled that out of my fucking ass. I hit him with a tween behind, and I was just walking him down, sitting a tween behind. This kid's pressing me full court. And then he reached, and I hit him with a wide-ass tween behind, and he fucking fell. And I snapped their starting point guard. I was like 3 feet from the three-point line. I took three dribbles, laced that bitch. The fucking gym erupted, dude. Elijah Fisher is watching this happen. Everyone, like, on camera. It was crazy as fuck, dude. Then next play, come off of the screen. Elijah Fisher jumps me. Fucking grabs the ball, goes down, windmills it, and we're just like going back and forth. Bro, at one point I came off of a pick, and Elijah Fisher was guarding me, and I hit him with an in-and-out cross, and I came in the lane. I should have shot a floater, but I kicked it to the corner, and this Russian dude clanked it off the side of the rim. And like I think at the end of the scrimmage, I had like 5 points, 2 assists, and I was clearly looking like one of the better players. Don't know how that happened. And then I went back to my small town of Hanover, Ontario. On the drive back too, Sam and Brent were like, bro, there's no way this kid's ever going to stop talking about this. Like, he just snapped somebody in a Toronto try. Like, we're never going to hear the fucking end of this. They didn't. And I got back to the thing. And
still talking about it to this day.
Exactly. It was a turning point, bro. Like, if that didn't happen, that was the only reason I ended up making that team. Because, like, I drove back to Andover.
You made the team with Elijah, or you made...
No. This is, like, the B team. They're the A team. We're the B team. Okay. And basically, like, as I said this on Sam's podcast too, but when you... leave a town of 300 people and go to a tryout in Toronto, the expectation is you're going to come back defeated, get dunked on, drop this whole basketball dream, come back to reality with the rest of us and fucking go on with life. That the complete fucking opposite happened. I told everyone I snapped a kid, and people honestly didn't believe that it fucking happened, but I had Brent and Sam to vouch for me, and like it happened. And at that point, I think it was 2 weeks later, I was playing basketball on those old 9-foot rims that I used to fuck around on. Me and Chubbs were just dunking, and we were fucking around. And then I went to go drive out, and I got a text message from Ro Russell, and it said, congratulations, you've been selected for the grassroots B team. And at this point, I was like getting an
offer. Did Brent or Sam make any team? No.
Didn't get an offer. And at that point, I was like being offered a fucking D1 scholarship from a kid where I'm from. And I'm sitting there with Chubbs. I started freaking out. I was damn near in tears, and I was just screaming, grabbing, like, there's no way this fucking happened. And yeah, at that point, I was still dating my ex-girlfriend at that point, so I would like go to her house and then drive to Toronto and then come back and sleep at her place. And like, it was just this back and forth fucking crazy shit. And I brought Brent to one of our practices because he asked Ro Russell if he could pull up, and Brent was shooting pretty well that day, but he didn't shoot well enough, I guess, to get Ro Russell's respect or something, because he ever asked him to come back. But yeah, that was like my introduction to Toronto basketball. Like,
so then how does that compound into you becoming a college basketball player?
Well, yeah, basically. So I go to that grassroots tryout, and then so like there was times where I would go to a grassroots tryout at 10 o'clock at night, play basketball until 12 with that team, drive home. It'd be like 2 a.m. I'd get in bed. Then I'd have a team practice with JDSS the next morning at 7:30. So I get 5 hours of sleep, get up, go to the gym, do that. And like it was just an endless cycle of fucking basketball. And after that grade 11 year was over, because I'm almost certain that was grade 11 when I did that, COVID was in full blast. So there was like online training sessions, and I was doing like dribbling drills in my room on Zoom with 15 other people, and Ro Russell just telling us what to do. And I was paying like $30 for it. So at that point I was like, I don't think this is really worth it anymore. I'm just draining my bank account for no reason. So I just quit that team, the grassroots team. And that was probably February when shit got really bad. And then when stuff started to open up again, I started looking at other rep teams. And that's when I found out about Scarborough. And I didn't play that well at Scarborough either, honestly, because like I had seen Toronto basketball at that point, but now that I was immersed in it, because as much as being on the B team during COVID was like a thing, and there was actually a really good coach at Ro Russell's thing too, and he was like, he would take me aside and like do dribbling drills with me up and down. And it was the first time I'd ever done like two ball drills and stuff. And he knew that too, because he was asking me, he's like, you've clearly never done anything like this before, have you? And I was like, no. And he took me aside and he was like explaining to us and me how this shit works. But then after I went to Scarborough, tried out there, made it. Again, it was like the 2 hour commute thing. I was just doing 2 hours, 4 times a week there and back to play basketball. And like Brad sort of he was the first coach I ever had where from the minute I stepped in the gym, he had never met me before, ever. Not seen me, like, the first practice he ever came to. And I was just shooting around the side net, and he just walked up to me and he was like, you should probably put more arc on that shot. I was like, what do you mean? And he just like immediately the moment he saw me, he had to teach me something. It's just like in his fucking DNA. And he started teaching me this stuff, and he was like teaching me how to swipe and all these necessary skills that I needed. And over the course of that year, I grew a fuck ton in terms of basketball skill. But I never really had, until maybe the last game of AAU basketball, I never really had like a good game. But after that year, grade 12 and 13, I had a decent enough film setup and collection to like, actually, you know what's fucked?
I'm Who's go filming back. Your games?
Who's filming my games? Nobody at JDSS. I had to get a kid from the junior team. I had to pay him like 10 bucks to record a couple of our games.
Who's filming your Scarborough games?
Some of the parents, like Jacob Roden's dad, would do it. Sometimes Adam would have a camera, or just like they would have film there in general. But now I'm going to go back on this. Now that I realize I had a little mini series during COVID about grinding to play college basketball.
Yeah, on TikTok.
Yeah. I did like 60 days of it. And the last episode was before I went to the Scarborough prep tryout or whatever. And I never made an episode after that. I ended up making it. But when I'm making that mini series, I don't know what possessed me to do that. Some girl who I barely talked to throughout high school messaged me because she's playing college hockey out in Boston. And she said, you should check out NCSA. And because I'd started that series, she'd like seen what I was doing. So I checked out NCSA and then I made this profile and all this stuff because of her. I hadn't paid at this point. I just had a pre-profile. And then I got a phone call from one of the agents one day in the middle of the summer. And he was telling me about all this stuff. And he's like, well, we have this package. You can get the gold package for this much. And he's like, you know what today I'll do for you? We'll give you the full package for a third of the price. And I muted the phone call. I was like, Dad, I don't know, because my parents are there. I'm like, I don't know what you want to do. My dad's like, yeah, just got to do it. We'll do it. Fuck it. We're doing it. We're going. So I bought that full thing and it kind of just sat there. It was like a $400, $500 investment that I never used. It was just like an empty NCSA profile. It said my name, my GPA, and that might've been it. Like that was all add on it. And then after all this Scarborough shit had gone down and I had this film, I had no idea what I was going to do with it, but I had it. And one day I got a message from my NCSA guy saying this is probably, I want to say July of 2022. So a couple months before I ended up going to Madai. And he said, we're going to figure this out. We're going to get your profile set up and all this stuff. And I set it up and I had like weekly phone calls with him talking about what I'm doing. I would message schools, all this stuff. And I just sent out a batch email in like July of whatever. And it hit four schools that actually ended up getting back to me, which one was from Virginia, Madai. Two other schools that hit me back, but they didn't really have any interest in me. So it was mostly that school from Virginia Madai. And then I ended up talking to Coach Long. And yeah, then the rest is history. But just, yeah, the Long, it was, I want to say it was God, as you say, because I've
so
never.
So many things had to go right.
Bro, I started making this fucking random TikTok series. Couldn't tell you why I did that. I was just interested in doing that. Get a message from this girl saying NCSA. And just so much shit along the way, dude, just fell into my fucking lap. And now we're here.
So after like working so hard, sacrificing so much, what went into the decision to not play anymore? What like kind of allowed you to hang them up and like be okay? Because I mean, maybe the audience knows, maybe the audience doesn't know. I live with you.
Yep.
You're more than okay that you've hang them up. There are moments where you wish like you were immersed in it, but like for the most part, a lot less anxiety, a lot less stress, a lot more muscle building, just doing things that you want to do on your time, and you seem a lot happier. Mm-hmm. But you work so hard, you sacrifice so much. So what went into the decision to hang them up?
There was a lot of things. The shell shock of making it, going from the small town, like the first, I'm not gonna lie, I was still in grind mode when I fucking got to Madai. Like,
oh, yeah, for sure, you were on the guy every day.
I touched down in Madai on August 18th. And got all my shit up in the dorms, met James, dapped him up. The next morning at 6 a.m., I walked into the gym and started getting shots up. Like, it was immediate, dude. I was still on fucking go mode. But then slowly throughout the season, I realized that the goal that I had set of making college basketball had been completed, which was one of the reasons, because I had set a goal that I thought was damn near unattainable for somebody where I was from. And then after reaching it, I don't know if anyone here is reached like a super unattainable goal, but you're kind of left with this feeling of like, why, what now? Like, I don't know what to do now. And in that moment, there's actually a chance if I would have reset my expectations and decided that I wanted to be not just a college basketball player, but an elite college basketball player and set goals to that, there's a chance I could still be playing right now. But in that moment of that long season, the grind of it all and everything, I kind of realized that the things that I loved about basketball could be found in other places.
And you didn't have to deal with the
I could be around basketball and I didn't have to be a player anymore. That was another thing too, possibly going on the coaching route. So it was like,
or trainer, or just like what you're doing now. Like you come to our practices, you've came to games before on the team bus and stuff
I don't even know if it was a decision. It was more like it felt like a natural evolution of things. It's like I did all this crazy shit, ended up making the team by the grace of God, played in the team for a year, and it just kind of felt like the natural solution to things was like, okay, well, now that I have the podcast, now that I'm lifting weights, and after talking to Coach Hack pretty extensively about this kind of stuff, he made it pretty obvious that like, if you're not going to be a psycho and come back and love this game and give it everything, then there's no point in coming back. And it was like, at that point, I had to decide whether or not I was going to come back and just go balls to the fucking walls for another season and try and become the best basketball player ever, or do that but in another area. And I don't know, at that point, the thing that made me start playing basketball wasn't strong enough to keep me going, if that makes sense.
Yeah, your pillars kind of...
It just wasn't strong enough. So at that point, I was like, there's things that I want to experience and goals that I want to reach that are completely not basketball related, and I'm okay stepping away from the game knowing that I don't regret anything is the main thing that I'm getting at here. Is like, I don't regret putting in 8-hour days. I don't regret putting in all this stuff. And I don't regret quitting because I know that the 12-year-old version of me would be okay with hanging them up, knowing that the only goal that he set out to was achieved and possibly even surpassed, because like, I don't really know, like being a college basketball player is cool, but the things that I gained from getting to be a college basketball player were so much more important.
For sure. So this is kind of a good question. Good time to ask Sam's question, which is, if you could change one part of the journey, what would you kind of choose to change?
I can change one part of the basketball journey. And why? You missed a part here.
Sewers. Don't know what that means, but...
if I could change any part of the journey, I don't think I would, but... It'd be nice to be the kid that could go out and drop 30 whenever he wants or windmill and dunk. I've always thought that the game would be significantly more fun if I was 6'5" and could.
But that's not really something you could change.
It's something that I couldn't change. But like,
what's something that was in your control that you maybe didn't do, or maybe you did do and you should not have?
What would I change about my college basketball journey? Okay, yeah, this is actually a good answer. I wish I would have gotten in the gym with Coach Long and Coach Hack more during that year of college basketball. That's what I wish I would have done. Because I know that the things that I was struggling with in terms of being pressured full court and not being a super confident ball handler probably could have been remedied. And if I would have done that, I would have had more solutions to these problems that I could give to other people. Like, I don't care that I couldn't fucking deal with Demo pressing me full court and screaming at me. I'm pissed that I can't give that information to somebody else like Miles, because now there's a certain subset of problems that every basketball player faces, whether that's not being able to shoot consistently or or not being able to catch the ball or not being able to like have touch around the rim. There's a finite number of problems every basketball player faces, and I would like to be able to help as many of them overcome those problems as possible. So me lacking knowledge is me lacking the ability to help more people. That's really all I can fuck about, honestly.
That makes sense. And then you kind of were going to get into this before, but what do you think, like, so we were talking yesterday about the Alex Ramosi quote, that the work works on you more than you work on it.
Okay.
I've said that to myself probably last, like, probably 20 times.
Dude, I'm telling you, if any of you are listening to this and you want to fucking just drill your head with knowledge, just go find Alex Ramosi's podcast, bro. Shout out.
But that's a great quote. And like, that's very true in a lot of things, and especially for you and your journey. And you put in all this work, but at the end of the day, the work made you a better person than the amount of work you put in towards that goal. Yep. And so kind of what lessons and did the work work on you, and how are you taking that into what you're doing now and what you're going to do in the future?
What work did the work work on me? I guess it's like the things that I gained along the way were, one, understanding that just because you put in hours of work And just because you think you're good enough and just because all of these things are going on in your head doesn't mean that you deserve anything. Like the game rewards you for how much work you put in, but you shouldn't expect anything from it, if that makes any sense. Like, I see kids now get pissed when they go out and work on a dribble combo for a week, and then when they try to hit it in game, it fucking rolls out of bounds or it gets stolen. It's like, you have to put in an unreasonable amount of work to remove all doubt from your mind that the thing you're about to do is going to work. In the sense of, like, when I work with someone like Miles and we get to the court and we work on the exact same shit for 30 minutes before we get into the actual workout. Like, let's say we work on ball handling, work on a single crossover for 30 minutes before we get in there. And he starts complaining. He's like, we already did this so many times. It's like, okay, if I pick you up full court and you do a move and it goes out of bounds, are you going to be able to say to yourself, well, I've done this move so many times that it was either a fluke or I haven't put in enough work? Like, removing the doubt from your mind that the work is the thing that's holding you back. That's what I would say. It's like, you right now, because you're struggling with the shooting thing, is like, you know,
it's more mental than it is a physical thing.
That's what I'm saying, though, is like, you understand that the work you've put in is enough to understand. Like, you know you're a good shooter. You know you can hit shots. So you've removed that constraint from your mind. You don't have, because you don't have to guess. If you're out there guessing, it's like, well, have I put in enough work, or is it mental, or is it this, or is it that?
Then
it just creates so much more of a clusterfuck in your mind. Whereas, like, if you can just remove the constraint of the work, and then the mental shit is like I said, I don't know how to fix that yet, but I'm sure there's a way. But the work part is fairly fucking self-explanatory. It's like, if you work on a move for 100 hours, like, you might still get ripped. But if it's 1,000 hours, I bet you it's going to get ripped a lot less. And it's just like, you have to put an unreasonable amount of work to the point where you know what you're about to do is going to work, and you've seen it so many fucking times that no matter what, even if the guy cuts you off when you do a tween cross, it's like, you have so many other combos to base off of that, because the amount of hours you've put in makes you unguardable, if that makes any sense. If I just rambled my way through that. But
no, I understand what you're saying.
The unreasonable amount of work is the thing that I took away.
Okay, so how are you using that?
Because it's like,
thing of taking away from that, and what are you putting now an unreasonable amount of work to take away that doubt in your life right now?
I understand. Well, the weight room and the podcast, because now I understand that even though we've been doing this for a year, I knew coming into it that I don't expect results from anything anymore. I wait an extremely long period of time compared to the average person before I see any results. Like, I don't care. I was in the weight room for 3 months, didn't care. 6 months, don't care. A year, don't care. I don't expect results from anything. I expect literally nothing out of every endeavor I do, and I just put in an unreasonable amount of work compared to the average person, and that's why I think I win, because I don't expect anything. I just grind my dick off, and then eventually
you could have phrased that way better.
Grind my ass off?
I don't know, something.
I grind hard as fuck, and I don't expect anything in return. I just do it because I enjoy the grind.
Very fair. Very fair. So, how could you use those, like, in the future? So, like, what do you want to do in the future, and how can you use those in the, like, what you learn from the game, what the world works on you in the future?
I mean, it applies to everything. Like, if I go into a sales job and I want to make the most amount of money possible, which, I mean, at some point, let's say I would like to get into sales, but it's a like, so I'm going to try and find something that I actually want to do. Becoming a full-time content creator.
Okay.
The gap between me right now and the guy who's already creating content full-time as a form of living, he can just go do whatever he wants, he creates content on the road. There's a skill gap there, and the skill gap gives him more leverage. So if he puts out a video and it gets 10,000 views, I can't get mad that I can put out a video that's similar that doesn't get the same amount of views, because I don't have the skills that he has. And those skills come from the hours of hard work that he's put in that I don't have. So I understand that the only gap between me and where I want to be is just thousands of hours of doing the boring thing. That's what I get out of it. It's like, everything that I want to do in life comes from doing the boring thing over and over and over and over again. Yeah.
Do you have any kind of advice for someone who was in a similar position to you that's maybe thinking about quitting,
mm-hmm.
or thinking about hanging them up, or thinking about
college basketball or basketball in general? Like
I need some. It doesn't have to be at basketball. It could be life.
Okay.
People looking. Someone who's looking at, and I know, like, you're not a quitter. It's not like you do something and you quit. So you're not. Your advice might not necessarily be to give it up. But what is it, something you would say to someone who comes to you saying they're looking to hang up whatever they're doing and move on to something else? Or hang out without having a plan and move on to something else?
I would say to the person who's debating quitting the thing, whatever it is, you have to understand that, like, I would ask why you're quitting. Actually, if someone came up to me and said, I'm going to quit this thing, I wouldn't immediately go to give them advice. I would just ask them the question, why are you quitting? Because that answer would give me much more context as to what they're doing. Because if you're quitting because it's too hard and you haven't seen the results yet and all that shit, then I think you're going to go down this endless loop where, like,
you find something, you do it, doesn't see results, and then you quit again.
Yeah, I don't know if you've seen the thing where it's like the valley of despair, where you have uninformed optimism before you go do something, and then you go in and now you have informed pessimism, so you understand how hard it is because you're in the shit now. And then there's this thing called the valley of despair, which is like you're at the edge of the informed pessimism and you're about to dip into informed optimism where you understand what you're in, but now you can see the light at the end of the tunnel. And it's like most people die in this valley of despair because they never give it long enough to actually see the results they want to see. So if I was to give someone advice, I would say, can you give it one more day? Because usually most people want to quit during this super emotional time. And like, I almost quit college basketball in a super emotional moment. And if I didn't have good people around me to
That was when we got kicked out of practice?
Yeah. I mean, fuck, dude. Yeah. In that moment, it's like, everything sucks. Everything's going against me. Why am I still here? All this stuff. And then just doing the whole, why not do it, give it one more day type thing. It'll just keep you in it until you get to a point in the journey where you might have this resting spot where you can like look over what's going on and make a logical decision. Cause most people quit purely based on emotional bias. Like if I would be very mad at myself right now if I would have quit when I said I was going to quit. And if I didn't have Rari and Tay sitting there going like, dude, just give it till the end of the season and you get out of the shit. And now you're in what I would consider the fun part of the season, where you're lifting, you're with the guys, there's nothing serious going on, there's no pressure. And you can kind of step back and be like, this is fun, but do I want to go back through all of that shit again? And if the answer is no, understand that the pain is the constant. Like, no matter what you do, shit's going to be pretty painful. But what pain are you willing to bear? We've already been over this in the podcast a lot, but it's like, I wasn't willing to bear the pain of going through all that shit again, like training camp, fucking weight room, learning plays, all that stuff for basketball. But I'm willing to do it for the podcast. I'm willing to be up at 12 making TikTok edits. I'm willing to be in the weight room for 3 hours on a leg workout, dying, almost dry heaving. Like, I'm willing to do it for something else, but you can't remove the constant of pain. That's going to be there regardless. So if you're going to quit, figure out what you're willing to die for.
That's good. That's a fucking TikTok right there. And kind of like the last question before my phone dies is, what's one piece of advice you would give to your younger self? This is a two-part, actually. What's one piece of advice you'd give to grade 8 Chris? And then what's one piece of advice you would give to January 29th, 2023, Chris? So, like, I don't know if that's the day we got kicked out of practice or around that time, around you were in the shit.
Yeah.
Two pieces of advice.
Chris. Nobody knows what the fuck they're talking about. At least where you're, like, where I was from.
Me and my best friend, Zach. Shout out Zach Cohen. We have a saying. Nobody fucking knows anything. Nobody knows anything.
It's just like, dude, the number of times that I heard you should just give it up, or someone mocked the fact that I wanted to go play college basketball, or just the small-mindedness of the average person that works a day job or whatever, and they tell you that you can't do shit. It's like, they don't even like themselves. So why the fuck would you listen to what they have to say about you? Like, all of this outside noise gets bogged down. It's just so fucking, like, just let it go, dude. Just lock the fuck in and listen to people who you admire. Man, that's really always, I mean, like, I think I had a pretty good understanding of stuff in grade 8, not in the basketball world, but just in terms of like a mentality. So like, I don't know if younger me even needed advice, to be honest, because like we ended up here. So, I mean, he clearly did something right. But that's what I would say, is just the outside noise shit. And then January 29th, me, when I'm in the shit, what'd I tell him to get him through? I would say you've been through worse, honestly. I would say the only reason that you're even considering quitting right now is because the emotional pain of being in the shit right now is, it's emotional pain is yeah, it's like you're not thinking logically. You're in the emotional pain part of this right now. Just give it a day. You'll come back down to reality, and then you'll fucking keep on trekking. Like, you've clearly been through worse. You'll continue to go through worse, and things will get better. That's what I'm going to tell myself.
Thank you for sharing your story. Now you guys have been fully informed about my story, about Chris's story. Maybe one day we'll come on the podcast and we'll explain how we started the podcast. But that's the episode for another day.
Vibes.